Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us.
And let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Acts this morning, the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you're a guest with us, we continue this morning a series entitled, "I Will Build My Church." We're studying the real characteristics of a New Testament church, and we have already studied the fact that the church had a real beginning, the church has a real witness, the church must also have a real faith. Last week we saw a real salvation, and this morning we're going to learn about the real purpose of the church. And in some ways, this morning's message is an orientation to the Christian life and to the church life, and especially even here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And so we have a lot of great things to cover. I want you to turn to Acts 2, find your notes if you'd like in the bulletin there, and let's stand together in reverence to the Word of God this morning. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, and then get right into our message this morning on the church's real purpose. How many of you are ready to learn something this morning and draw closer to the Lord, okay? Acts 2:41, follow with me as we begin. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the fact that you add to the church. You added to the church at Jerusalem, as we just read. You've added to the church in Lancaster, as we have seen. And I just ask today, Lord, that as you bless, that we would always honor you, that our desire would be to fulfill your purpose in the church. And Lord, I pray this morning would be another step forward, not just for the church, but for everyone here in their spiritual journey. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've had a wonderful time studying the local New Testament church. And this morning, I want to remind you that being a part of a church, being a member of a local church, is a commitment. And we're going to see that that commitment revolves around three distinct areas. First of all, being a member of a local church is a member to a body of believers. We're here to encourage one another and to grow with one another in the Lord. It is a commitment, secondly, to a body of truth or a body of doctrine. We believe this morning that the doctrine of the Word of God is primary, it is fundamental when defining what is a real church. Lots of buildings, but not every one of those buildings represents a church. And then we not only talk today of the commitment to the body of believers, commitment to the body of truth or body of doctrine, but thirdly, it is a commitment to the body of Christ. We believe Acts 20:28 teaches that Jesus Christ has purchased us with his own blood, and that all of us who are saved belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we refer to the church locally as the body of Christ. And so we're here today growing in our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his local church. One of the ways we learn about that is found in Ephesians chapter 2, by way of introduction. In verse 19 it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Before we were saved, we were strangers and foreigners, the Bible says. Spiritually, we were disconnected. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we are now fellow citizens with the saints. We have brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are members of the household of God. What a tremendous privilege to be saved. What a tremendous privilege to have a gathering place, a people with whom we can gather and learn and grow in the truth of God. Now, this morning, we're going to learn the purpose of the church. A lot of people view the church with different ideas in mind. Some people view the church as simply a place to meet friends, some as a place to do business, some maybe as a place to get help for their family and so forth. But what is the biblical purpose of the church? In fact, if you look up on the walls, you're going to see the purpose up on the walls this morning. Notice, first of all, it says loving God. Secondly, growing together. And thirdly, serving others. All right, let's say that together. Ready, begin. Loving God, growing together, and serving others. Now, why did we choose those particular phrases? Were they just kind of catchy phrases and everybody's got to have a purpose statement and so let's just put that down? Why did we choose those three? That's what we're going to learn this morning as we discover the purpose of the church and specifically Lancaster Baptist Church. First of all, let's look at this phrase, loving God. We exist to love God. We gather together this morning to express our love to God. Now, I believe that loving God, growing in a love relationship, a heart relationship with God, is foundational to our walk with God. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Notice Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is which commandment? The first commandment. So if loving God is the first commandment, it made sense to us that we should state right off the bat that we're here to grow in our love for God. Now, I've met people in the past who said, you know, I used to do what I did and I tried to do right because I was afraid the nun would slap me on my hand with a ruler. I've had people say, I was afraid the preacher might call my name in church. I was afraid my mom might spank me. I hear people describe why they did what they did in a lot of terms. But one of the greatest days in your life is when you begin to grow in love with God to the point that you want to come to church to hear more about what He has to say. And you like the song because it lifts Him up. And we give because we say, thank you, Lord, for giving to me. And a mature Christian doesn't do what they do because they're going to get smacked on the hand. But a mature Christian does what they do because they're in love with God. And this has been our desire from the very early days, to cultivate hearts for God. And we believe that there are guidelines from the Bible and principles that we should live by. But the motivation is the love of God. Now, how does that all get started? I want you to notice in your outline this morning that loving God commences at salvation. You do not really know what it means to have a relationship with God until you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Notice what it says in chapter 2 of our text in verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received His word. Now here in Acts 2, we're reading about the church at Jerusalem. Peter had stood to preach, and he preached a very simple message. You can read about it in Acts 2, but it basically boils down to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how many of you would agree with me this morning? That is the central doctrinal truth that we gather around this morning. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. A lot of religions in the world, a lot of religious messages in the world, but thank God this morning for the empty tomb. That's what brings us together. So Peter preached this truth. And the Bible says many that heard this truth believed. They received His word. We would say they were saved or born again on that day. And when someone receives Christ as their Savior, that means they are receiving Him, His love. They are reciprocating by faith, choosing Christ alone to be their Savior. And when we have Jesus in our life, this provides a tremendous eternal security, a sense of love and security that this world really cannot offer. Look into your notes and notice what it says in John 1:11. It says, He came unto His own, speaking of the Jewish people, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, salvation is, yes, about being forgiven for our sins. Thank God for that. But more than that, salvation is about being placed into the family of God. And when you believe on the Lord, then you are a son or a daughter of God. And the love that He lavishes on us through salvation is amazing. And it's something that is truly life-changing The great evangelist of yesteryear, Jonathan Edwards, said, "True love begins with God and loves Him for His own sake. Self-love begins with self and loves God in the interest of self." Now, sometimes we want to love God so He'll do something for us. But when we get right down to it, that we should love God because of who He is and because of what He's already done for us in sending His Son to die upon the cross. And so this is a securing love. Salvation not only provides an eternal security type of love, but it also provides a loving security for us. In other words, we don't have to wonder if God's going to keep loving us. Notice in 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Let's say that together. We love Him because He first loved us. And so we love the Lord because of His love that was given to us. And God says, "I don't want you to do what you do out of fear. I want you to do what you do out of love." The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "The love of Christ constraineth us." And so we're here today to grow in our love for Him. Now, you show me a Christian that stays away from the Bible, that stays outside of a Bible preaching church, and their love will diminish. But the more we learn of what He's done for us, the more our love will grow for Him. And oh, what a blessing it is to grow in love with the Lord. Now, that all begins when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior. It commences at salvation. But notice, secondly, it will continue with identification. If you want to grow in your Christian relationship, then you must identify with Christ and with His church. Now, the Bible says in Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Now, baptism is identification. They identified with two things. First and foremost, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Secondly, they identified with the doctrine of the apostles and the body of believers that had already begun to fellowship there in Jerusalem. You know what I have learned is that when you fall in love with someone, you're not ashamed of that love. I see sometimes the young couples around here, and when they meet one another, they think it's great to sit by one another, and they like to tell their friends that, "Hey, she loves me. Hey, I love her. Hey, there's something great going on here." When you have something good going on in your life, you're not ashamed of it. And I want you to see what it says in verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received." And this is a participle speaking of the fact that they were not being baptized by force, but that willingly they were being baptized. They had gladly received the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this, my friend, if someone truly accepts Jesus as their Savior, then they will gladly identify with Jesus Christ. They will gladly tell others that they have been saved, that Jesus has washed their sins away. They had gladly received, and then they were baptized as a public testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were saying in their baptism, "I identify with Him." Now, I have a wedding ring on my left hand here, and I would take it off for you this morning, but I can't. It has shrunk over 30 years' time, and I can't quite get it off. But I wear this wedding ring, and for nearly 30 years I've had this ring on for various reasons, but primarily to identify myself as a man that is in love with my wife, seated right down here, Terry, for 30-some years. And I wear that wedding ring as an identification of our relationship together. And so it is when someone is baptized, they are identifying with their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, when you begin to identify with Christ, first through baptism and then through church membership and so forth, it only enhances and encourages your growth in the Lord Jesus. I have seen those who said they have accepted Christ, but they refuse to get baptized, they refuse to identify, they refuse to fellowship with saints, with believers, and because of that, they never really grow as God intended their Christian life to grow. You see, Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When someone is baptized, they're picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When they are baptized, they're picturing the fact that they are dead to the old life and alive to the new life in Jesus Christ. And they are identifying with that. They're saying, hey, I'm not going that route anymore. I want to live now for Jesus Christ. That's what baptism really pictures. And so we thank God for the fact that we can love the Lord. And that begins with salvation. That continues with identification. And we identify in two ways. First, in our baptism. And secondly, in our church membership. And I want you to see why we say that in verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, the church in the early origins at Jerusalem and Antioch and Ephesus and Corinth, these churches may not have had, you know, electricity and buildings and all of the organization that we may have today. But please understand, and we're going to learn more about this tonight, they were definitely functioning bodies. They were definitely functioning according to the scriptural teaching. And that would include receiving and dismissing members. That would include warning members. That would include encouraging members. There was a body life happening there. And here it says everyone that got baptized was added to the church. They were added to those who had already been assembling and praying in the upper room, and those that had already become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now those that were baptized were added about 3,000 souls. And so how we thank the Lord for the fact that we can identify with Christ, we can identify with His church. And I believe that every born-again believer needs to be involved in a local New Testament church where the Word of God is preached, where there's an under-shepherd and where there's care, where there's opportunity to grow, as we'll see in just a moment. But it all begins with loving God. Now that commences at salvation, that continues with identification. Notice thirdly, our love for God is cultivated through our worship for Him. Our love for God is cultivated through our worship for Him. Now, the worship that I speak of is, first of all, a personal worship, worshiping God personally. Look, if you would, at your notes, Luke 10:39. Let me show you two ladies who love the Lord, but one was a little off balance in that love, and I want to show you why. Luke 10:39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, speaking of Martha, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, Lord, dost not Thou care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now here we see two women. Martha was a good woman. Martha was busy doing a lot of stuff. But Martha, the Bible says, was troubled in her heart. And she had done so much serving that she was troubled about many things. Martha was the type of woman who'd say, you know, she's not helping as much as I'm helping. And that guy doesn't really care. And that shouldn't be there. And that doesn't look right. And let's fix this. And Martha was doing a lot of stuff. And we need Marthas. Thank God for helpful Marthas. But Martha was missing the main point about being a follower of Christ. And that is that she was not spending time with Jesus personally. Notice Jesus said in verse 42, one thing is needful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus said there's one thing needful, how many of you think we ought to at least get this little part of the message today? He said there's one thing that's needful. And what was it? Look at verse 39. Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. See, Jesus said, hey, Martha, you're doing a lot of good stuff. But Mary's doing the most important thing when she sits at my feet. I thank God this morning for a godly wife. I thank God that she has time with the Lord personally alone every day. I think this morning as she made me some eggs and toast, and as we sat down for a brief moment, she had the scripture playing on a tape recorder, and she's already been through her Bible reading this year. Now she's listening to the Bible on audio. I thank God for godly women and godly men who take time personally to worship God in the morning, to pray, to read their Bible, to keep it real, to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we call personal worship. Then we might refer to it secondly in this way as corporate worship, not in the sense of business. When I use the word corporate, I mean as a body. How many have ever heard of the term Corpus Christi, Texas? You ever heard of Corpus Christi, Texas, speaking of the body of Christ? Two Latin words, corpus, body, Christi, Christ. And when we say corporate, we mean as the body here, we're to get together and worship Him. We're to lift Him up and we're to grow in love with Him. In Matthew 28, 17, when the disciples saw Jesus, it says, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Hebrews 10, 25 says to us, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we worship God at Lancaster Baptist Church, and we worship God in the Word of God being preached, and the music being doctrinal and uplifting, and we worship God in song, and we worship God in offerings and in preaching. And we do that three times a week at Lancaster Baptist. We have a little phrase around here, three to thrive. Let's say that together, three to thrive. Now, I know at the Church of Jerusalem, they met daily in the temple and from house to house. So you forgive me for only having three, all right? But we do have three. And I'm being a little facetious because it seems like, as the Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, some churches are doing so much the less. Okay, but we believe that Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship personally on a daily basis. Three times a week at Lancaster Baptist, Sunday morning we get together, and normally on Sunday morning I'm preaching a theme like this theme on the church. I will build my church. Sunday night, normally I preach through a book of the Bible, verse by verse. Right now, as we commemorate our 25th year, I'm preaching a series of messages entitled Here We Stand, talking about the doctrine, and tonight some about the practice and how the church operates, and learning about the position of the church. And here we stand 25 years later. On Wednesday night, we have various themes. Our Wednesday night program is called Wednesday in the Word. During the month of October, our theme is God's faithfulness. During the month of November, our theme is thankfulness to the Lord. If we have a guest speaker coming on Wednesday night, we let them know the theme so that we can keep growing in that particular area. And these are wonderful times, three times a week, when we can get a spiritual meal and when we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to be faithful. Someone said it takes about 90 gallons of water to baptize a new Christian and about 9 drops of water to keep them away from church. Let's not let just anything keep us away from church. Let's be faithful to the house of God. Let me tell you how to come to church. Would you look at this? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is there in your notes. And it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Hey, when we get together Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we ought not to approach this book with an attitude that says, you know, if it hits me right, I'll do what it says. If I feel like I agree with it, I'll do what it says. Listen, friend, the Bible's not just an inspiring book. The Bible's the inspired word of God. And we're here to say, Lord, I want to receive what you have to say. And that's how we love Him, is by obeying His word. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to follow my word. I like the way Warren Wiersbe stated it. He said, the local church is espoused to Christ, but there is always the danger of that love growing cold. Like Martha, we can get so busy working for Christ that we have no time to love Him. Christ is more concerned about what we do with Him than for Him. Labor is no substitute for love. We worship God through preaching. We worship God as we sing praises to His name. We worship God through our tithes and offerings. Some people get cynical about giving. Some say that, it's talked about too much and so forth. But truly, when you love someone, you want to give to them. You want to thank them for what they've done for you. I heard about a little boy who was in church watching the ushers pass the offering plates, and he saw different folks putting in money, and not everyone looked real happy about it. And the little fella looked up to his dad when the offering plate came by their row, and he said, "Daddy, you don't have to put anything in for me. I'm under 5. Now, folks, some people have a real legalistic approach to giving. It's like, all right, what's the minimum that I have to do? But how many of you would agree with me that when you really fall in love with the Lord, it's not about percentages, it's about proportion. It's about, Lord, you've done so much for me. How can I honor you? And the Bible speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. God says, I'm going to bless you, and I want you to honor me. I want you to be faithful in giving. Next week, as our missionaries come, they're going to present their fields, and we're going to have opportunity to get behind them with our prayers and with our finances. What a blessing it is to give to the Lord. And so we exist to love God, to draw closer to Him from the heart. Let's hurry now. Notice, secondly, we exist to grow together. To grow together. Let's come back to Acts chapter 2 and notice what it says in verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I love those words, and they continued. You see, God designed the Christian life to continue. A lot of people get saved and they get baptized, and just like Alka-Seltzer, they fizzle out right there. That's not God's plan. God wants us to continue on in our spiritual journey. And they continued, notice first of all it says, in the apostles' doctrine. Would you say that word with me? Doctrine. A lot of people in the year 2010 say, yeah, we just downplay doctrine, you know. We don't want to get too built up with doctrine because it just brings division. Well, the fact of the matter is, the Bible is a book of doctrine. And we're not here to be divisive, but we are certainly here to learn what the Bible says. We are here to grow in the teachings and the truth and the doctrines of the apostles. Paul said to Timothy, it's in your notes, 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Notice this, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. Doctrine is a set of beliefs. Notice verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Now listen right here. The most important thing about the church is, what does the church believe? And is the Bible being preached at that church? Is the Bible being rightly divided? Is there a doctrinal foundation? Is Jesus the chief cornerstone? Are the doctrines of the Word being taught? Listen, the most important thing is not the location of the church. It's not how many nurseries they have or what color the walls are or whether you like every single song or not. The most important thing about the church is, does that church preach the whole counsel of God, you see? And they were growing in the doctrine of the Word of God. And to that extent, we do not apologize for being a fundamental church teaching the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God. Folks, doctrine is so vital. And in this day of emotions, when people kind of go with their feelings, I have found that feelings are up and down. But listen to me this morning, the Bible is always solid. The Bible doctrine is always true, and we need to stay true. And we have several teaching opportunities to help you grow in doctrine. We obviously have the pulpit ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, teaching and preaching from the pulpit. We have the adult Bible classes, and we're starting several new ones this next year, places where you can gather together in smaller group settings and hear the Word of God taught and applied to our everyday lives. We have personal discipleship on Wednesday night for those who are just getting grounded in their faith or wanting to just really help their husband-wife relationship get grounded, or as a single adult get grounded. You can contact an adult teacher, and on Wednesday night in the Revels building, just one-on-one, take some time through a study book that we've prepared to help you grow. And then we have special events. We have ladies' retreats and men's retreats and couples' retreats, and every year special events in the calendar to help us grow in the Word of God. You see, Colossians 2:7 says that we're to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And my friend, many Christians are being tossed to and fro. Many Christians are finding themselves here and there and here and there, and sometimes even going the way of the cult. Why? Because they do not get rooted in the Word of God. And we are here to grow together. And friend, we're not going to grow tall until we grow deep and get strong in the Word of God. So we're growing through the doctrine of the Word of God. Secondly, we're growing through devoted fellowship with the people of God. Did you know one of the ways, how many of you here this morning, you say, Pastor Chapel, I really do want to grow as a Christian. I think that's why we're here today. Well, let me tell you something. It's going to come through the Word of God, and another way is being with the people of God. Look at, if you're going to spend all your time socializing with your old buddies and their Budweiser, you're going to spend all your time with your buddies watching MTV, or if it's always all about the things of the world, then let me tell you something. Nearness is likeness, okay? And you're going to become like the people you spend time with. And the Bible says that we're to gather together in fellowship with other believers. Look at 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that when we fellowship, that everything we ought to do, we ought to feel as though if Jesus was there physically with us, He'd be real comfortable. It's called Christian fellowship. I believe that as we gather together with good Christians, we're going to be sharpened. We're going to grow together. You can fellowship with folks in the church family, through the adult classes, through the retreats and activities. You know, another way we fellowship is around the Lord's table. And coming up in the first Sunday night of November, November the 7th, once again, we'll serve the Lord's table to the church family as we do several times a year. And Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And as we have the wafer and the juice, we're reminded that His body was broken, His blood was shed. Oh, listen, friend, we're going to grow together through the doctrine of the Word of God and through fellowship with the people of God. And so our purpose, simply stated, first and foremost, loving God. That begins with salvation. And as you are baptized, that is identifying with Christ. And as you become a member of the church, identifying with His people. But not only do we want to grow in love through salvation and through our fellowship and worship, but then we want to grow together in the doctrine of the Word of God and gathering with the people of God. And then finally, I want you to see serving others. Serving others. Now, would you see this with me in verse 44 of Acts chapter 2? It says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, in this church of Jerusalem, the Bible says they had a lot of needs. And what they did, they sold what they had and they created somewhat of a central fund, obviously, for other people's needs. And we're not advocating that as a practice for the day in which we live. We don't see that in the epistles later on in the Bible, in the other churches. That was not necessarily practiced. But the spirit of helping others was always in the churches. The idea of helping the other saints in the other churches and helping one another, serving one another. That's why when you visit many different foreign countries, you'll find the orphanages and the hospitals were begun by Christian missionaries. You're going to find that much good work has done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving others. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God has given you abilities. God has given each of us opportunities. And He wants us to use our abilities and opportunities to serve others. And oh, how we thank God for the many with servants' hearts at Lancaster Baptist Church. Let me give you a few thoughts to think about this morning when it comes to serving others. First of all of us need to discover a place in ministry. All of us need to discover your place in ministry. Hey, it might be once a month in the nursery or once a month in the parking lot, or might be serving as a weekly usher or singing in the choir, might be visiting in some of our rest home ministries that we have, or driving a bus to pick up underprivileged children. It might be involved cleaning the property. It might be involving some type of witnessing. But the point is, everybody has a way that we can serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. "For as we have many members in one," what's the word say? So the church is a body, right? That's what we're preaching about. And we have many members in this body. By the way, some people say, "Well, this is a large body. They don't really need my help." That is not true. There's a place and there's a need for everyone to be involved. And notice it says, "And all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then differing gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," and I believe that's preaching, "let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Now, we don't have time to break down every one of those words, every one of those gifts, but God says, look, some of you can teach, some of you can help, Some of you can bear burdens when there's a sickness in the home or someone goes home to be with the Lord. Some of you can give a little extra. Some of you can give in a major way. God has given gifts to us to exhort, to give, to teach, to rule, meaning to organize or administrate. And God says, I want you to discover ways to serve me in and through the body of the local church. And by the way, there's dozens of ministries where that can take place at Lancaster Baptist Church. So we discover our place. We serve others by discovering a place to get involved. Then secondly, we serve others by developing a passion for lost people. Let me tell you what, every one of us need to have a personal passion for people who don't know the Lord. You look in the Gospels and you'll find that as soon as Andrew found Jesus, he went and he had to go tell his brothers about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have brothers or sisters who don't know Christ. Maybe you have a neighbor that doesn't know Christ. And you say, Pastor, you emphasize that a lot. You know, I really do, because knowing Christ is the most important thing in this world, most important thing in this life. Listen, friend, we need to have a passion for people personally. That's why we have a class every fall and every spring. Brother Furso teaches the class on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can put the kids in the nursery. And if you've already done discipleship, you say, I want to learn how to witness. Brother Jerry teaches a class from a book that I wrote years ago called Team Soul Winning. And he's teaching right now over 100 people on Wednesday night how to lead a friend to Christ, how to share our faith. And this might be something that someone in this room would say, I need that. I need to learn how to share my faith with others and personally sharing your faith. And then with the church family getting involved, Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you a third and final way that we serve others, not only by discovering a place in ministry, not only by developing a passion for lost souls, but how about through our missions program? Through the missions program. Would you take out of your bulletin this brochure that says sowing and sending? I want to just speak to you about it for a quick minute. You see, Lancaster Baptist Church supports more than 200 missionaries around the world. And next week, we have 31 missionaries coming to visit us. And you're going to see the schedule and you're going to see the pictures of these missionaries. These are people leaving America to live in Africa. These are people leaving a Christian land to live in Muslim lands. These are people leaving hot water to go where there is no hot water. These are people, many of them, making great sacrifices. And one of the ways we serve people on the other side of the world is by supporting our missionaries and by getting behind them with our prayers. And we'll fill out a little card in a week or two that says, I want to give $5 or $10 or whatever to missions. And we'll take that, and that will enable us to then distribute it to the missionaries all around the world. I want you to start praying for these people right now. When they come next week, I want them to feel like they're coming into a church that has really gotten ready for them. Now look in your notes at one verse that tells us how we can really serve others. And it's there in Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15 says this, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, watch this, What's the next word say? Church. We're talking about church this morning. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul says, hey, church at Philippi, you guys really helped me with your giving. And he says, you sent once and again to my necessity. How many of you understand that Paul was able to go from place to place because the church at Philippi sent financial support and they helped him along his way? How many of you believe we need to help these missionaries get to where they need to go? And you see, that's the New Testament plan. That's one of the ways we serve others. And so let's begin to pray about having a part in helping our missionaries. Now let's review this morning. As you look at the purpose of the church, first of all, our purpose is to love God. That begins at salvation. That continues through baptism and through worshiping God personally and with the church family. Secondly, we want to grow together. That means doctrinally getting rooted in the doctrine and having Christian friends to help us. And then serving others. That means finding how I can serve God, having a passion for souls, helping our missionaries. And Lancaster Baptist Church has a biblical purpose. Look at this, isn't a social club. This isn't a place to hang out once in a while. We're here doing the Lord's work. We're here on the King's business, and we want to continue doing kingdom work until the King comes again. And so let's say it together, the purpose of Lancaster Baptist on the sidewalls. Read it with me. Ready to begin? Loving God, growing together, and serving others. Hey, where are you? Are you saved? Have you accepted Christ as Savior? Have you been baptized? Are you identifying with the local body? Are you worshiping God? How about growing? Perhaps you need to get into an adult Bible class or discipleship and really get some roots down in the Word. How about serving? Is there a place that God wants you to serve? Is there a way you can encourage our missionaries? Is there someone that needs to know the Lord and you can help them know the Lord? God has a purpose and a plan for your life and mine, and much of that revolves around His church, and may we do His will in these upcoming days.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.